Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I wanted to come at the studio today to talk about what I saw last night, and I have to say, it was difficult for me to sleep last night. So I want to talk to you about the town hall meeting with Joe Biden. He's running for the highest office in the land. And I want to emphasize that my point here is not to make a political statement. Rather, I want to comment on the social fabric of our nation. A nation in which medical experimentation on young children has now become politically correct. With that said, during last night's town hall meeting televised by ABC, Joe Biden overtly stated that he had absolutely no compunction about a 7 or 8 year old boy transitioning from male to female, or for that matter, vice versa. For those for whom believing is hearing, I thought I'd take this opportunity to play precisely what he said.
The idea that an 8 year old child or a 10 year old child decides, you know, I decided I want to be transgender. That's what I think I'd like to be. It'll make my life a lot easier. There should be zero discrimination. And what's happening is too many transgender women of color are being murdered. They're being murdered. I mean, I think it's up to now 17. Don't hold me to that number, but it's higher now.
Yeah.
And that's just this year. And so I promise you, there is no reason to suggest that there should be any right denied your daughter or daughters, whichever, if one or two.
One,
your daughter, that your other daughter has a right to be and do. None, zero.
I listened to that clip several times over. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Here you have someone who has held the second most powerful position in the free world overtly stating that he has no problem whatsoever with empowering young children to transition from one gender to another. There's a barbarism here that, quite frankly, is hard to process, and that particularly in our age of scientific enlightenment. This is experimenting on those who are the most vulnerable among us. It is simply unconscionable that an 8-year-old child should be burdened with the power to decide to become transgender in the face of well-established science showing that the vast majority of children suffering from gender dysphoria, in other words, confusion about their gender, quite naturally grow out of that confusion. Moreover, the damage done to a young body during this kind of a transition attempt is irreversible. This is, well, it's stark moral bankruptcy. But what would you expect? What would you expect from a culture that has no qualms about creating an entire industry in which women and men whose job it is to piece together the body parts of children after they've been horrifically ripped apart inside their mother's womb. Transgenderism, of course, is among the most fashionable social justice issues of our era. And the word gender no longer means what it once did. Throughout all of human history, gender and sex were, well, they're coupled together. But today we have people at the highest levels of government promoting the draconian process of decoupling sex from gender, and in the process, altering the meaning of both. I've mentioned a particular individual before on this broadcast. His name is Dr. Paul McHugh. He once personally involved himself in this horrifying psychophysical experimentation. And McHugh is no minor character. He was a distinguished professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University. He was the very person responsible for shutting down a clinic famous for pioneering sex change operations. And after his own personal epiphany, an epiphany born out of years of seeking to transition human beings from one gender to another, he said, transgendered men, they don't become women. Nor do transgendered women become men. All become feminized men or masculinized women, counterfeits or impersonators of the sex with which they identify. As McHugh went on to say, gender dysphoria, and this is the official psychiatric term for feeling oneself to be the opposite sex, belongs in the family of similarly disordered assumptions about the body, such as anorexia nervosa and body dysmorphic disorder. Its treatment should not be directed at the body as with surgery and hormones any more than one treats obesity-fearing anorexic patients with liposuction. The treatment should strive to correct the false problematic nature of the assumption and to resolve the psychosocial conflicts provoking it. Would that those running for office in the greatest nation on earth would have the common sense to proclaim such self-evident truths. There's an author that I read some time ago. His name is Tony Runke. And he has well said, or well written, that chromosomes cannot be re-engineered. They cannot be removed. They cannot be scrubbed from the software of our bodies. It may be possible for a trans woman to pass for a woman on the street at a visual level, but it's not possible for a man to morph himself into a biological woman. A biological woman with all of the experiences and functions of natural femininity. While medical advances make it possible to suppress or change some of the outward appearances of our bodies, to change our patterns of speech and dress, it is not possible to raise our bodies to the ground and then to rebuild them without shortcutting all the essential formative experiences that make biological sex expression and gender authentic. Simply stated, you cannot change a child's biological sex at a cellular level. When we come back from the break, I want to talk more about transgenderism, about the transitioning that's taking place in our culture. And oftentimes it's easy to point our fingers at politicians or pundits or media giants that are promoting this kind of thing. But remember, when we point the finger, four fingers are pointing back at us. We as the church, we as the body of Christ, have been called to make a difference while there is yet time. And woe, woe if we do not do it. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember the resource of the month? Politics for Christians. Your copy available for your support on the web at equip.org.
In a matter of weeks, the United States of America will have an election. Rarely have elections had consequences on a comparable scale of magnitude. As Christians, we must rise to the occasion. In Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, Francis Beckwith argues that our public policies become the social and legal fabric of our country, shaping the quality of our national character. If statecraft is indeed soulcraft, Christians can't remain silent at the ballot box. The soul of our country is at stake. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
According to Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith, a candidate who embraces Christian ideals, even if he or she is not a Christian, is a candidate that a Christian can support with a clear conscience. Christians in America have the historically unique power to enact laws that advance the common good and must take this special obligation seriously by using good judgment while voting and supporting legislation and political candidates. This is not to say that Christians will always agree on what policies and candidates represent the best option to advance the common good, but there is no doubt that Christians have a biblical mandate to advance it. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As I said at the beginning of this broadcast, last night I saw a town hall meeting, and I decided I have to talk about this on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, because here we have someone who has held the second most powerful position in the free world, overtly stating that he has no problem whatsoever with empowering young children to transition from one gender to another. And there is a barbarism here that's hard to process. And one of the reasons is that you cannot change a child's biological sex at a cellular level. A trans woman can grow his hair long, can wear high heels, can pump estrogen into his body, and a trans man can cut her hair short, force testosterone into her body. All of this, as Tony Reinke rightly said, is an active pushing against the body's internal software. Unable to decode ourselves from the genetic composition of our physical development, we are left to rearrange anatomical aesthetics and coerce ourselves in a direction that runs counter to nature. Irrespective of what Joe Biden pontificated in his town hall meeting, this is self-evident truth which he and George Stephanopoulos must know full well. This isn't rocket science. The literature is replete with testimonies of people who enter into this process of sex reassignment, and later they regret it. Some time ago, I told the story of Nathan Verhelst. Nathan was born a girl, and at some point decided that she would be better off as a he. So she began partaking in hormone therapy, and then that progressed to a double mastectomy. Later on, a series of surgeries to construct a penis. Well, three surgeries later, Nathan, formerly Nancy, was poised to celebrate her rebirth as a man. But this is what Nathan said. I looked into the mirror, and I was disgusted. My new breasts did not match my expectations, and my new penis showed symptoms of rejection. And then there was the scarring, both physically and metaphysically. Deep depression overwhelmed me. So what happened? After the expenditure of a great deal of money spent on doctors and drugs and on hospital procedures, Verhelst was euthanized. Why? He could no longer take the suffering. Euthanized a mere year after the last sex change procedure. Verhelst's final words prior to lethal injection a lethal injection that took place at a university hospital. Were gut-wrenching. He said, I do not want to be a monster. Health services tried to turn a girl into a boy, a woman into a man. They failed miserably, and then they killed her. The trans train has roared into our lives, roared into her life, far faster than the LGB trains of the past. And in the process, what Time breathlessly touted as the next civil rights frontier plowed over yet another life. The denigration of Christian civilization is hardly symptomatic of a fevered imagination. At last night's town hall, it became abundantly clear that Western governments, mandated by God to ennoble life, to promote justice, to restrain sin, are instead leading the charge towards social chaos, toward militant egalitarianism, toward radical individualism, toward multiculturalism and political correctness, and perhaps as denigrating as anything else toward religious pluralism, even toward the eradication of the gender distinctions ordained by God from the very inception of human civilization. Government leaders, in concert with media icons, now create, they manipulate, they disseminate ideological constructs that are driving the whole of Western civilization, indeed the world, in a very dangerous direction. Perhaps the most colossal failures belong to the church itself. It's chilling. Absolutely downright mind-boggling to hear politicians who claim to be Christians promoting the most grotesque processes of social engineering. For all intents and purposes, the church and some of its most notable members have succumbed to the crushing onslaught of illiberal liberalism. Jacob Neusner, who happens to be one of the most published authors in all of history, has hauntingly reminded us all that civilization hangs suspended from generation to generation by the gossamer strand of memory. If only one cohort of mothers and fathers fails to convey to its children what it has learned from its parents, then the great chain of learning and wisdom snaps. If the guardians of human knowledge stumble only one time in their fall, collapse the whole edifice of knowledge and understanding. The very thing we see happening, unfolding, right now, before our very eyes. And God help us, if we do not equip the saints to always be ready to give an answer to those who may not otherwise be able to discern between heat and light, between wheat and chaff, we may rightly thank God that we as yet live within the confines of a liberal democracy that has been absent for most of human history, a liberal democracy that affords us the power to hold governmental personalities accountable, a liberal democracy that allows her citizens to participate by voting. And as Christians in a liberal democracy, we as yet have the means to effect change. And if we do not, the transgender phenomenon will prove to represent just one more domino in the collapse of a country that was once the greatest missionary sending force in the entire world. We have an opportunity to vote. We have an opportunity to make a difference through our words, through our witness, through reading books like our resource of the month. It's an important one, Politics for Christians, written by Francis J. Beckwith. Your copy available for your support. Go to the web at equip.org. Read it for yourself and for your children. So long for now.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Christians can't sit this election out. Although the New Testament speaks very little about government and the Christian's responsibility as a citizen, certain principles from the Bible contribute to understanding why a Christian citizen should have an interest in politics. Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith offers readers biblical and theological ways to think about politics and the role of the Christian in a liberal democracy. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
According to Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith, a candidate who embraces Christian ideals, even if he or she is not a Christian, is a candidate that a Christian can support with a clear conscience. Christians in America have the historically unique power to enact laws that advance the common good and must take this special obligation seriously by using good judgment while voting and supporting legislation and political candidates. This is not to say that Christians will always agree on what policies and candidates represent the best option to advance the common good, but there is no doubt that Christians have a biblical mandate to advance it. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.